Our New Testament reading for today comes from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we ask at this moment to hear the sound of your voice. At this time, allow all other voices in our minds of others, our nagging insecurities, our incessant interruptions to focus, let those fade away so that the voice we hear in some sense may be your own. Lord, we ask to hear that voice. We know that you know us and that you love us, that even when you guide us in unfamiliar and strange ways and places, that we can know the shepherd's voice is leading us to safe pasture and life, even life to the full. Lord, may the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you, O God. And we pray for the one who preaches, for you know his sins are many. Amen. There is a meeting spot outside of a train station. It's a popular spot to meet someone who is a friend. It's been there since around the 1940s, but it commemorates something which happened before. It's a statue of a dog. His name is Hachiko, and he's in Shibuya Station outside of Tokyo. He's there because of his great loyalty and his love for his master. You know, there's all sorts of stories about dogs, and we have the phrase of dogs being man's best friend, after all. But this one is truly remarkable. You see, every day he would go from his house, the dog would, Hachiko, and he would go to the train station with his master, Ueno. Ueno was a professor at the University of Tokyo and would take the train from Shibuya Station to the university. And he would go and stay at the station and see his master off the train, and obeying orders, he would sit and stay and not get on the train. And then his master would go to work, and then he would come back, and he would be there waiting for him at the train station. One day, though, tragedy struck. Ueno did not return home. He had passed away at work, suddenly and tragically. People began to notice that the dog continued to return to the train station every day. There's a statue to the left, right to him, which has been up there since the 1940s, and often it's where people meet. And he returned every day for a decade for his master, waiting for him to come home from the university. The same sights and smells, the whistles of the trains, the bustles of the crowd, people sharing their lunch with this dog. He became something of a local celebrity when his wife told people why he continued to leave home and go to the train station. Yuno's wife kept the dog, but didn't have the heart to try to keep him from going every day. He was eventually discovered dead himself at the train station. And in honor, they made a statue for him, which has become a symbol of his loyalty and his love for his master. Though his master's voice was not among the sounds that he would hear, among the trains and the whistles and the bustling of the crowd. And then in 2015, a statue was made back at the University of Tokyo, where Yuno has taught, of the dog and his master being reunited. And it is also a meeting spot on that campus. It's a powerful, if heartbreaking, story about loyalty and love. But the interesting thing to me is always how he came and responded to the same cues and the same whistles and expected to say of the train and expected to hear once again his master's voice telling him it was time to come home. Last week, I became an uncle, and little Kinsey was born, and one of the interesting things I've learned about infants is that even in the mother's womb, they begin to learn their parents' voices. That even before they're born, they begin to hear the voice of their mother and even their father and come to recognize it, so that now she always wants to be held and she seems to be calmed more by their voices than by the voices of other people. You know, during the pandemic, there was often just my brother Eric and Hannah, and Kinsey seems to love and know and recognize their voices above all others. Well, today in our gospel, we read about Jesus' relationship to those he loves and who belong to him and who love him as well. We learn Jesus is the gate, and through him we have life to the full. We have two things that I really want us to focus on when I think about this passage and what it has to say to us today. The first is hearing the shepherd's voice, hearing the voice of the one who enters through the gate. And the second is living in that fullness of life which Jesus has given us through him. This image of a pasture, of the sheep being protected, of entering in through the enclosure in the pastures of the gate, is the main one that we have this week. And the next week we'll talk about Jesus as the good shepherd. Jesus protects. We enter into the beloved community through him. And he contrasts himself with others who don't go in through the gate, who reject Jesus, who don't enter in through the one who is the Word and who provides the pastures of life. Those people are like robbers who seek to kill and destroy. Just before this, there was an exchange with a blind man who was healed by Jesus on the Sabbath, the day of rest, the holy day that was set aside, the sixth day where people were not to work, and yet Jesus healed. Now, actually, in many interpretations of the law, that's a perfectly acceptable thing to do, acts of mercy. As Jesus says elsewhere in the gospel, who among you, if your ox fell into a ditch, would not go and get your ox out of the ditch if it was the Sabbath? If you'll do that for an animal, then why won't you care for someone who is hurting on the Sabbath? The man who was born blind, he doesn't have any robust theology. He doesn't quite know who Jesus is, but the Pharisees are coming to this man and they're trying to trip him up. They're trying to get him to admit that Jesus must be a sinner because he healed on the Sabbath, that he must have done something wrong, that there must be a reason that Jesus is not to be trusted, and we should not listen to his voice. The man doesn't claim anything except this. We read in John 9:25, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. There is one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see." Throughout that whole story, we have the ironies of who is exactly seeing correctly here, who is seeing things for the way they really are. This man who up until recently couldn't see anything at all, or the Pharisees who have dedicated their lives to studying God's word. The scriptures, who are renowned even by Jesus for their righteousness and their holiness. And what we see is that this man who says, "I have no idea if he's whether a sinner or not, but I know that I was blind and now I see." And that is a good thing, and it doesn't come from an evil source. He is the one who sees fully and correctly. But the Pharisees' rejection of Jesus doesn't lead them closer to truth. In fact, it leads them to driving the man out of the community. He's driven out of the synagogue. He's driven away from the people of God to which he belongs. He's cast out and rejected. They even go and question his parents, trying to figure out if they're the big sinners, or he is, or if they might find out that Jesus is. It doesn't occur to them that actually this is something good. It's something of God. And it's not from the Father of lies and death. It's actually from our Heavenly Father of light, who is light and gives life. That's why Jesus is trying to get them to see this through this image of going through the gate and the people who are taken care of, who enter and believe in Jesus and don't believe and don't listen to other voices. You know, there's so many voices that you and I hear every day. There's so many voices which would tell us what to do, what our worth is found in, what would make us matter to others, what would make a life worth living. Nielsen, the company which measures the amount of TV that people actually watch, found that the median adult, if you found the middle adult from the all of the people who watch no TV to the people who watch it 24/7, and you go and you find the one who's kind of in the middle, kind of the representative American, they watch 5 hours of TV a day, as of a survey in 2016. The median person takes in that much from television and talking heads. Facebook and Instagram have their own people who study their own platforms and have yielded some interesting results. One of Instagram found from Facebook, which owns Instagram's own researchers, that 1 in 3 teenage girls' body image issues got worse because of their use of Instagram, and that more use of Instagram was associated with eating disorders, body dysmorphia, and poor mental health. Now, I'm on social media, and I imagine many of you are too. I'm not saying it's something that we should reject, and though, of course, if you don't choose to use it, that's also nothing wrong either. But the point here is that when something becomes such an internal part of our life, and we let it speak into our life, it can change our self-worth. And maybe we can be a light on social media, people who encourage and speak words of life and truth which are of God, rather than those which seem to denigrate, to make us feel more suspicion about our neighbors who are different than us, or to even feel worse about ourselves because we don't have what other people have or don't look like the people on Instagram look. When people hear the words of Jesus, they are also divided on what voice they should listen to. Some of them say, "He is a demon-possessed and raven-mad man. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Jesus, in this saying, shows us at once how little we often understand and how much he loves us. He values the simple confession of, "I was blind, and now I see," over arrogant talk which drives people out and presumes that people have nothing to offer, that they're written off and discredited. The people of God, us gathered here today, those of us who believe and have entered through the gates, who have put on Christ in baptism, who have faith in him, must be a place where people hear the words of life. It can't be a place where we hear any number of messages about how worthless or troubled or alone we are in this world. It must be the place where we hear Jesus's voice. There's too many messages in the world seeking to divide us, to make us resent our neighbor, or to build our self-worth on any number of shaky foundations which will not hold. And this is especially true that the church should be a place of encouragement in the good news of the gospel for all people in all generations, not just a select few and not just for those who I might be friends with otherwise. The church is the pasture. Baptism is like the gate, and Jesus is the gate, the very reason we're here today, the one who protects and sustains our life together. There's no other way to enjoy the abundant life that God offers in Jesus than to listen to his voice. The second part, not only listening to the shepherd's voice and entering in through the one who is in the gate, the second part that Jesus mentions is living in fullness of life. Therefore, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to seek and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." There's been many messiahs in the world, many people who have promised peace through their great leadership, through the might of the people that they are able to get to follow them into battle or into political power, through a master plan. But Jesus comes to us as the one who lays his life down, and he shows his power in showing mercy, even to those who do not deserve it, even to all of us. And the life he offers isn't just the life as we know it, going on forever. It is the different kind of life. It is the life which is in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is God and comes from God and is sustained by God, goes on because of God. That's how Jesus can be so many different things in the same figure of speech. You see, he's not only the gate, he is the voice that the sheep listen to, and he is also, as we'll find out next week, the good shepherd. He's a lot of things in one figure of speech, because the life that we're given is his life, and the life that we live in the beloved community together, and the life that we share is the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come to us. So it's not only just eternal life that goes on for a greater length of time, it's a different kind of life. It's the quality of life that changes, the kind of life that we live which changes, not merely the length. We have hope for then, because if we didn't have hope for then, that last day, that day when Our life as we know it is no more than we only have life for a short time. But we also have that life now. Because if it was only something that we would wait for, what are we doing now on this earth except for waiting for it to end? Jesus wants us to live in his abundant life, looking forward to the day when it is fulfilled, yes, but experiencing it and listening to his voice even now. Through him we enter the gate, and we're sustained in our life. That story about Hachiko, that dog who waited years and years and would never hear his master's voice again, is a tragic story, even if it's a picture of loyalty, because his master was never going to get off that train. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians says that if Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, then we, those who belong and believe to Jesus, are to be among all people most pitied in the world. Because if Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, what hope do we have? If Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, we will never hear our master's voice. If Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, then we should shut the doors, lock it, and never come back. But Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Not only will we hear the shepherd's voice, but the shepherd knows us and loves us and cares for us and is speaking to us even today. So that when we come here, we can expect to gather into joy and to love and to hear that word of encouragement through the scriptures, through one another, and through the word which comes to us. He is calling. He is the gate. His people listen to him and not other voices, and we follow his voice, for he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So what do we do to hear his voice? We need to first hear the shepherd's voice and then live in the full life together, entering into the beloved community through Jesus, who is the gate. So I want to invite us all to do just that. Today is Connection Sunday. It's a day for those who have an adult Sunday school class to be able to join and to fellowship. We have a men's class right over here, an adult class for both men and women over here, and then the education wing, we will have the women's class joining where there's the TV set and everything. And those are three adult Sunday school classes that we are so excited about. For people to reconnect and rejoin, to open the scriptures together, to enjoy a full life of encouragement with one another. And today is just a lunch. Each class will have their Pizza Hut box. There's already drinks and paper cups and napkins waiting there for after service. And people will be able to join into that. To plan for when it begins at 9 a.m. on October, the first week of October next week, those three adult Sunday school classes will begin. And then for those who are not yet connected to something like that, of all ages, families, children, youth, married people, single people, you are welcome to stay in here. We'll roll out a couple tables from that closet right there. We will also eat our Pizza Hut box lunch with pizza and breadsticks, and we will pray and listen to what God might have to say. We'll have a little format to help us brainstorm and come along and listen to what God may be leading us to do in ministry altogether for something new. New points of connection, so that we might hear the voice of the shepherd enter into the gate and enjoy the full life that he has for us. I invite you to stay for that. I invite you, if you have questions about faith, Pastor Susan and I are always open and willing to meet, as are so many of our deacons, to discuss who Jesus is and what it means to follow the one who loves and cares for us so.